You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something. Hey everyone, yes, we are back with a Dragon Con follow-up episode. We, you know, had such a great time at Dragon Con, we thought it would be fun to actually come back and talk to you about how this year's Dragon Con was, and hopefully everyone survived fairly healthy. And, you know, we're going to talk about what we liked, you know, different experiences we had. You know, we did come to you with the ESO Network recording, and we talked about our experiences, but that wasn't the whole story. We're going to talk about the whole story tonight. At least stuff that, you know, Darren will give up, you know. So that's part of the thing. So now that he's sober up, we have to also find out if he even remembered being on the ESO Network podcast.
Why is it all about me all of a sudden?
I don't know, man. You were pretty lit that night.
You were.
I don't think I was the only one who had a little light in them that night. Thank you very much. I wasn't cosplaying as Mike Gordon.
And what exactly does one do to cosplay Mike Gordon? Because I think I can work that in.
You have to have a goatee, a baseball cap, and a Hawaiian shirt.
A Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
You just have to say howdy a lot.
And say howdy a lot.
Yes.
Well, and the key item that night was actually the matching tick shirts.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yes. They were wearing the matching tick undershirts.
That's right.
Can I say spoon?
Of course.
Shout out to the guys at the tick.
Very cool. Well, as you can tell, we have a big crowd here tonight, folks. Let's go around and say hi to everyone and see how everyone's doing. First, of course, let's say hi to Mike.
Howdy.
How are you tonight, sir?
I am okay. You know, I have enjoyed many a Dragon Con, but I can safely say that this one was the first one I survived.
Hey.
You're here.
That is so darn true. Literally and figuratively.
Exactly. So, yes, lots to talk about today.
Well, it's going to be good to talk to you. And we also have, of course, Darren here.
Howdy, everybody. What's up?
You doing okay?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm over my con crud, and we'll discuss as we get through the episode, I'm sure.
Of course. We also have Mary.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back to reality, dear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Reality sucks.
Yeah.
It does. That's a true statement.
Wow, wow. That alone says after Dragon Con.
Pretty much.
Like, I've been home for a week and I still haven't recovered. I'm just not back to myself yet. It'll take some time.
Well, you know, Mary, you know what? 351 days left till next year.
I mean, yay! I don't know how to respond to this.
So by then, her liver should be back almost pink again. So
maybe.
So
you know, I didn't drink that much this year. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about all this later, but like, I'm accustomed to much more intake than I participated in this year. And I'm partially proud of myself, but I'm partially ashamed. So I'm not really sure how to deal with those feelings.
Wow. I've never seen someone so torn by that.
I know. It's a life problem.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we have a couple special guests with us also sitting in with us. Of course, we have the Phantom is here.
Hey, everybody.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty great. Thanks to some, I mentioned before the show, some whiskey that was left in my room at Dragon Con. And I decided I had a moral obligation to polish that off tonight for the podcast.
Did the bottle have a ribbon wrapped around it or something? You
know? It didn't. And there's so many things I could say right now, and I'm not going to.
Please, please.
Yeah.
TiVo.
Okay. And we also have Bobby Nash here.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Bobby.
Always fun to be here. Glad to see everyone, you know, is, you know, more or less in one piece after the convention.
Do you feel like you survived?
Yeah. You know, the couple of days after were rough, but, you know, back to normal now, I think.
Right. Well, that's one of the things we're going to talk about in the show is, now that you're back in reality, how do you deal with it after being at Dragon Con and such? Mm-hmm. So that will be one of the topics we have. We have a full list of stuff to talk about tonight. But first, we do have a special guest with us also. Let's welcome the media director of Dragon Con, Mr. Dan Carroll.
Thank you, guys.
Welcome back to the ESO Dragon Con report.
I really love being on with you guys before Dragon Con and during Dragon Con. I waved at a couple of you, so it's good to have everybody back together.
Yeah, I think I saw you like fly by me real quick. I think it was at the Hyatt.
I got to talk to Mike at the Tiki Desk, yes, the Walk of Comics. And I saw Bobby three times in passing. I think I reached out to wave to him twice.
I think that might have been a record for us, too.
So one of my funny stories is I was really excited about seeing Jane Espenson. And the times that I saw her, I was so busy I couldn't stop and introduce myself. Because one of the cool things about my job is I'm allowed to introduce myself to anyone at Dragon Con, which I'm kind of obnoxious that way. So I love doing that. But by the time that I actually got free, where I would have had a chance to talk to her, I found out she was already back in California enjoying the earthquake.
Oh, wow.
So getting to wave at you twice, that's pretty good.
Wow. Yeah.
I feel honored then, you know, because I think I only missed you by like 2 minutes in the media room. Exactly.
Sorry, it's your show. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you. So, how was Dragon Con for you overall?
It was a great success, without a doubt. You know, I kind of measure my success based on our exposure in the media, of course, and the quality of the exposure in the media, and also. Not that I'm taking direct credit, but that translates into badges processed and badges purchased. And this year, as you're probably aware, we went from 46,000 attendees in 2011 to 52,000 to 55,000 attendees because we added some new systems for processing. We still don't have the numbers exactly, or I don't have the numbers exactly. But that was a huge leap. We were really happy with not only how we grew, but also how we were able to manage the space better this year.
Well, that's one of the things we're going to talk about is space with like coming up for next year and stuff. There's going to be a lot of changes, I've heard.
A lot of changes.
And we'll get into that in a little bit, but let's talk about this year's show still. It was funny because every time I hopped on like a Facebook on my phone, it was like pictures with you with Chris Hardwick or you with, you know, standing and talking to some of the other celebrities and everything. It was just Dan here, Dan there. It was like, almost like Waldo in some ways.
Well, for a pudgy little man, I'm very quick on my feet. and I'll be honest, guys, I didn't get to see nearly the number of people that I wanted to see this year in terms of our guests. We had an amazing guest list, some big hitters in there. Some of the people that I wanted to see, I ended up only seeing while I was doing work, which is not as much fun as saying, hey, look at me, Chris Hardwick, be my friend, because that's the way we talk at Dragon Con.
Of course.
Yeah. Chris was great. He came down to the media room, got his passes. He came as a reporter, and we were very happy to have him. And sometimes podcasters are allowed at Dragon Con. Just saying, as media. But a lot of it was this year. I worked harder than I normally did. Ironically, we were just talking about this before the show. I got to see Mary more than I got to see her in previous years at Dragon Con.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because Mary was working she was working very hard as a reporter on her own right. She was working for Space Gypsies in her own blog and getting some material for tonight here with you guys. So she was running all over the place.
Nice.
I did get to see Dan like four or five times, which is weird, but good.
Very weird. And one of the things that's interesting was that that this year the one group of people that I wanted to see the most were the folks from the Guild, which I'd fallen in love with earlier in the summer. We really enjoyed it. Getting to see them and hang out with them, and also our own Mary Lou Who is one of the few reporters.
Stop stealing my thunder, dude! Come on,
give a surprise. So Mary will tell surprise later. I got to talk to the Russian guy from Stargate too, and that was pretty fun.
Sweet.
He evaluated my Russian accent, and I evaluated his.
Oh my!
Well, okay.
I used to be a Russian translator in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
Check.
In real life, no, he's just a Canadian guy. He learned his accent from his gardener.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Right. Yeah, the Czech guy, I think, was on Atlantis.
Oh, yeah. Right. He was.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other dude.
You're thinking of the guy from Time Gate. No, this is the Russian general who was also on my favorite genre show, Dark Angel.
Oh, very cool. That worked out pretty cool. What was your highlight of the show, if you can remember?
Sadly, I've learned that I am driving at Dragon Con, so I'm not allowed to drink. That's what last weekend was for.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, it's like. But I think one of the most interesting things that's ever happened to me at DragonCon was that I was asked to tour a group of VIPs from CNN around the show, and I was supposed to meet them at 10 o'clock in the morning. CNN, for those who don't know, is a large news organization headquartered in Atlanta.
Right.
So I had to get out of the Hyatt through the 14 or 15 deep crowd to get into the parade by shouting DragonCon business. I got to the street to find that there were two rows of tykes in front of me. So I had to go all the way back, start over again, make it through this massively deep crowd. Find myself in the parade. Now, I'm claustrophobic, which is funny for somebody who spends all his time at DragonCon. So I was very relieved to get out of the crowds and into the parade. But I just saw the parade as these two walls of folks on both sides. And I go across the street and I hear my name shouted and I turn around as my former coworker, John, who's driving Lou Ferrigno in a convertible.
Right. I remember that.
So I go back, I hug John and I hug Lou Ferrigno and I start heading back. What I don't realize at the time is that I'm in front of the bank of reporters. So a lot of the reporters got the pictures of me hugging Lou Ferrigno. I haven't seen him yet, but still, that's pretty cool. And then I have to get back through the crowd on the other side. My phone is dying because it's 9:30 in the morning and I've been using it constantly for 2 or 3 hours. And I make it through the crowd. I get to the other side and I'm texting furiously before I run out, and it turns out I am next to the CNN folks. They're actually behind me.
Oh, geez.
So we get them. For those people who have never seen the parade, we estimated that we've been having about 14,000 attendees. My estimate is that we're up about 3,000 this year, because the area by SunTrust Plaza was completely filled with viewers. So we had to go all the way around SunTrust Plaza, all the way down some side streets, down to the Hilton. We finally made it to the Hilton and gave them a tour. And it was really nice because it was a great chance to talk to people who are not Dragon Con attendees. They're not folks who understand the culture, and to be able to answer their questions about what Dragon Con means to the city what Dragon Con means to the folks who go to Dragon Con and what Dragon Con means overall to the geek community around the country and around the world at this point.
That's very cool. So you had that time to shine and you made it through it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So, and then I also got to meet the folks from the guild and, told them how great the MMO RPG party was because Felicia showed up and they all looked at me and said, we were there too. Did you notice us? So it was a good Dragon Con. How about you guys? What was your favorite party?
Oh, there's plenty of different ones. Let's let those guys go first. What do you guys think?
God. Like, I don't even know where to start.
Ladies first. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. Like, there's so many different aspects to the week, really. Definitely a highlight was what my good friend here was about to give away to the rest of you. I got the opportunity to interview the entire cast of the guild on Saturday morning.
Right.
So, yeah, including Felicia Day, who I, like, am obsessed with. So, that was pretty amazing. Mostly I really admire her as a woman and as a geek, and I want to be her, but it's much less, you know, it's a little bit more likely that I'll be her best friend rather than being her. So I just really want to be her best friend. And, I think I held myself together pretty well for a fangirl. So, it was a really cool experience just to be able to talk to all of them for just a few minutes. And I don't know, it was just really eye-opening and really cool at the same time.
Right.
But otherwise, like, costuming stuff was pretty awesome. I didn't get to do as much of it as I normally do, but some of you saw my Yeoman Rand costume. That was probably a highlight for me of the weekend.
Cool.
It's one of my favorite costumes. So, yeah, between those two and then, like, everything else that happened, like, I could talk about it for days. So, yeah, it was great.
Cool. What about the rest of you guys? Phantom?
Probably actually doing panels for the first time at Dragon Con.
Right.
I think was my favorite thing. And doing the podcast Sunday night as well was really, really cool. I liked feeling like I was actually, because I mean, everybody's part of Dragon Con, but feeling like I was actually part of the show, I guess.
Right.
Was just awesome because, I mean, I've been going for so many years and it's been such a big deal to me for so many years. And to actually be a participant in that way for the first time was awesome. I mean, it was a really big deal. And I want to thank you guys for making that happen for me.
That's why we have you around. We're here to make you a star.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. What about Bobby?
Much the same thing. I mean, I didn't have a table this year, so I was doing a lot of panels and a lot of running around, and all of the panels were just incredible. They were all well attended. I think the smallest panel I had was the one where I was reading, doing a reading, and I don't blame people for not coming to that one. Because, you know, I didn't even really want to be there. Because I hate reading my stuff aloud. It just, but did that, went through it, actually sold some ebooks as a result of it. There was a lady there who had said she, you know, had never heard of me or my work, but after reading it, she was on her tablet buying copies of my novels.
There you go.
That was awesome. But all of the panels, I know Phantom and I and Mike, we were on, Mike Gordon, we were on the 1982 panel together.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun. There was a lot of laughter and, yeah, just a great time. And then, of course, you know, all of us getting together from the network to do the podcast was pretty cool.
Yep.
Being the first time we were all in the room at the same time. So
that was my favorite part, too.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
You remember it? That's cool.
Hey. Watch yourself.
People are going to start to think bad about Mary now. We don't want to do that.
Never.
No, it was cool. It was weird and surreal to meet you guys in real life. I mean, it was cool, but it was like, I think I kind of recognize that guy, but I'm not sure. I guess I'll just walk by, and if they say something to me, then I guess that's them. Mm-hmm.
Wait, you had met them before, though, right?
At Time Gate. But like really briefly.
Like for like 2 minutes at Time Gate, she came over to our table.
Like really briefly.
Right.
And it was just really, it was really cool.
And then when you hear people talking, you go, I recognize the voice. Okay, wait, wait.
I actually had somebody do that to me this year because I was talking to William and Mark Maddox at the Marriott, and somebody walked up and said, I recognize that voice. You're ESO. And it was like, yeah. He says, you're Mike. And it's like, yep. And it says, and then they looked at William, and is that William? And then they looked at Mark. Who's he? And I said, that's
we all have pretty distinctive voices.
And I said, that's the award-winning Mark Maddox. And he, of course, he said, shut up, Favor.
I only refer to him as, we were talking earlier about recovering from Dragon Con, and I've been recovering by writing about it. And I only refer to him as the award-winning Mark Maddox now.
Yeah, that's only way to do it. That is the only way to do it. How about you, Mike?
Well, first of all, I did also want to point out that it wasn't easy spotting Mary all the time because she was in a different costume every time I saw her. So I was just like, is that? Yeah, that I think that is
right. Yeah, different kind of hair, so different kind of.
She mixed it up so much. It was like, oh, there she is.
Yeah. Though I did get tagged in that picture of where we met for the first time, like 6 times. I was like, how many times am I going to get tagged in this photo? Like, yes, that is me. It's fine.
Yes. Well, I think that's more you than me though. But, I was amazed at how many times that picture came up.
Well, like how many people took the exact same photo? Like, how does this even happen?
I think Dave gets a little over anxious about, you know, tagging his photo.
Right. Because it felt like it was like, here it is. Okay. Here's 1 second later. Here's one second after that.
And they're all like me making derp faces. They're like, not even like you could have asked for a photo.
Well, now I would take 10 pictures if I saw that happening. I'm not going to lie.
I think
what happens is one person takes a picture and then somebody shares it and somebody else shares it and it gets shared again. Cause I've seen that same thing happen where it's the exact same picture all over the place. And for some reason it gets retagged every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That must be so it.
It's like con crud.
Uh-huh.
But I love seeing me everywhere. So I have no problem with that.
I'm doing a face slap right now.
As much of you as we can see.
Well, yes, yeah. Legally. And at one point over the weekend, people saw a whole lot more of me than anybody ever wanted to see.
There was one picture that I am trying to forget. Yes.
That one.
I'm not aware of this. Can we have some definition of what's going on with this picture?
Okay, here's the deal with the picture, and it's still up on my Facebook page, much to Mrs. Troublemaker's chagrin.
Oh.
Oh no!
Almost made me quit Instagram.
Yeah. Saturday night, I had on a pretty spectacular suit. It's a purple and silver zoot suit, and I had on a leopard print mask. Wow. And we went to see Calabrese, and I can only wear that kind of ensemble for so long. I had to go change clothes, and we went back to the room to get more beer, to change clothes, whatever. And Mrs. Troublemaker stepped out to get some ice or something, and my buddy Rescue John was in there, and I'm changing, and I'm like, hey, here. And I handed my cell phone, and I'm wearing my leopard mask and my leopard boxer shorts, and that's it. I was like, get it real quick. So, of course, right as he's taking the picture, Mrs. Troublemaker walks back in the room, and she's like, what is going on in here? I'm like, it's cool. I'm just putting this picture up.
Well, it's okay. Yeah. Mrs. Troublemaker wrote me and said, these pictures you took of me, I don't remember them. When was that?
Yeah, but she's got her clothes on her pictures.
Yeah, good point.
As far as I know.
Well, that's a whole different story.
As you remember.
As far as you remember there.
Right.
That picture was not one of my favorite moments of Dragon. I just want to make sure that we're clear on that.
Next up, I'll wear tiki boxers.
So, Mr. Mike, what was your favorite?
Oh my lord, I'm looking at the picture now. Holy that is so getting shared.
Oh.
Link, please.
Send it out to all of us, please, Darren, because that's going to be the cover to this. This is going to be the picture for this episode.
Okay. I don't think.
Let's see, on a groups, in a group, how about the ESO group?
How about on Skype, right here, right now?
Will it do that? Okay. Oh, it's got privacy settings. Look at that.
How about that?
Man, you bad man. Hang on a
second.
Uncool. No, no, it's all right, darling, because I am a techie. Hang on. Doo-ba-doo-doo. Derp-a-derp. There we go.
Wait, I thought you were gay.
I am. Stealth queer, darling. Stealth queer. That is sexy right there. And I didn't know Phantom had a nipple piercing. That's pretty impressive.
Got a couple of them. You can't.
Oh, yeah. You got two. Yeah. You can barely see the other one. But hey, wow.
Oh, yeah. That is so becoming the cover for this episode.
Wow. Fantastic.
We're going to make you a star.
Brilliant. That's like Ron Jeremy the early years.
Oh, I don't even need to think about that one.
see, now what you need to do, Phantom, is you need to do the rest of the episode. Jesus. You need to do the rest of the episode to go with that photo and the voice you did on last night's ESW.
Oh, you're right.
There
you
go. But
you have to include the caption. Rad, not at all gay. That's like the best part.
Oh, that is totally gay. It's trying too hard to be macho, which means it's gay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how I come off typically.
Anyway.
Oh, God.
That just happened.
I need more alcohol for this episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's get the show back on track a little bit.
And we are back at Dragon
Con. We are back at Dragon Con.
I kind of hope that I don't have to explain any of this to the senior folks at Dragon Con, but let's keep going.
No, creative editing, my friend. It'll be okay. So, Mike.
Wait, we're not involved with Dragon Con, are we? Oh, wait, I am. Crap. All right, help me out here.
I'm not getting a stipend. Come on.
So, Mike, tell us, Dragon Con, favorite memory.
Well, I was definitely honored to be a guest once again. And once again, Dragon Con and particularly Tom did a great job. Tom and Dana both did a great job with the comic track. The comic and pop art artist alley was just booming all weekend. And that's just so awesome. Awesome to see. So I have to say that was great. Although personally, I kind of echo something that Phantom said, not did, but said. I want to make that distinction earlier about doing a panel. I can remember, the first time I was at Dragon Con and my cousin and I were sitting there watching a panel. And afterwards we were like, it would be really cool to be on the other side of that panel table one day. And this year was the first year on Friday was the first time I was ever on a panel at Dragon Con. And it was pretty awesome. And it was a panel because I am a comic writer. So that was a kind of a special moment. So I just enjoyed that tremendously.
It is really different to get to do that. I guess, this is most of our first years being on panels. I actually helped lead a couple too, which is my first time doing it. And it was a really unique experience. I've led panels at other conventions, but getting to do it at Dragon Con is like a whole other animal.
Yeah.
Oh, very much so.
And the panels are so well attended and they're so well received. And the crowds in the panels are so interactive and they're so fabulous. I mean, yeah, we really are spoiled by really good panelists and attendees of the panels.
I was really shocked by how great the attendees were. Like, I did a couple panels for the Stargate track and they were relatively small discussion panels. I mean, I'm not a big enough deal to be on anything that's ginormous. And so it was just really cool. And everyone really participated in the conversation and didn't like let it get super weird or awkward. And I was just really impressed.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. It is a great feeling being recognized for something, that you've done and being able to participate in something because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I definitely was feeling that too. So, and I also have to say that you know, I enjoyed the bucket of rum. It was very smooth, and you know, for all the hype that we gave it going leading into Dragon Con, once I had it, I was like, wow, this is actually pretty good. It held up. So, good on you. The only problem is I think they ran out by like Friday night. So, of buckets anyway. So
no, they had them through Saturday night.
They had, you know, they had to get a cup of rum after that or something. It was not.
Oh no!
Next year I'm bringing my own
no longer
bucket.
An option.
No,
it was my own bucket next year.
Yes, but they don't do it by the gallon, sir.
Oh, bastards!
Sorry. Oh yes, and I got to meet Gillian Anderson, so that was fantastic as well.
And no orders.
Jealous.
I thought, you know, at first I thought it was going to be a rehash of the Elijah Dushku incident, but it turns out that I kept my cool and I made it through, and you know, I think I'm forgettable to her, so that works for me.
That's really good.
Don't feel bad. She was just distracted by a picture she'd seen the night before.
Yes, I'm looking at that picture right now. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So, Darren, your favorite memories.
Hello. Getting dry humped by John Barrowman. I think that much
yeah, that would be my favorite memory.
Thank you.
That would be my favorite memory too.
But beyond the obvious, with that, I have to say that my best part of Dragon Con, besides meeting Mr. Behrman, would have to have been hanging with my friends and partying till 5 a.m. and dancing at the raves and just having a really good time with a whole bunch of geeks, meeting new people, having fun with those folks, you know, just enjoying being around a whole bunch of geeks. I didn't see many people who were not well-behaved, not having a good time, not, you know, not having that meltdown moment, which sometimes occurs. And I was very impressed with the individuals who came to Dragon Con this year that I didn't observe any infantile behavior on that level, you know, because for the most part, when you put this many people together, we're basically on our best behavior. You know, there's only so many security guards to go around, and it's nice that we are all very well, even though it's a balls to the wall party at times, we're all self-policing for the most part. We're taking care of each other. And I like that. So
cool.
I had a great time.
There we go. Well, very cool. Mine. I loved everything about it. Up until we got attacked by ants. It was perfect.
That's what you get for being so sweet.
Yeah, I know, I know. And it was a great, great time. I think my favorite thing was the buckets of rum lived up to their reputation. Loved hanging out with Jason and Rita a lot. Was a great, great time with that. William was a trooper during the whole thing. Being on the Doctor Who panel and myself and one other person basically recording in front of and talking in front of almost 500 people was amazing. And we had them literally in the palm of our hands, which was great. And usually when I do panels and stuff, sometimes people walk out or something. Nobody walked out. It was awesome. And it was just like, that to me was a sense of accomplishment with knowing that the podcast has started to make it and stuff. Being recognized for the podcast. And then of course the best memory was recording with you guys.
Aww.
And such, just thinking this is, you know, an idea I had 3 years ago. And, you know, all this time later, I have, what, 4 shows on the network and more coming. And all of us were together in one room talking about Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a blast.
And it was a bit of a D&D quest to get to the room, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was. Oh, was it ever. But, you know, it worked out great. It totally worked out great through some of the badness and some negative stuff for a few of us. It turned out to be a great, great Dragon Con. So, you know, thumbs up to the people who put it on, and looking forward already to next year.
Shelly. And my favorite memory for this year's Comic-Con or DragonCon is meeting Sylvester McCoy face-to-face and getting a 20-minute conversation with him.
Right.
And getting to do an ESO interview. It's really awesome to be part of the podcast. Thank you so much, guys. Keep the good work coming.
Thank you, Shelly, so much.
So welcome.
Cool. And hopefully we'll keep on listening. We'll see you next week.
That brings us into the thing we're going to talk about next is next year's. There's, Dan, we've heard a lot of rumor and such for next year's show. You know, I know it's been confirmed that the vendors are all moving over to the America's Mart across the street, correct?
Yes, they are. It's going to be connected. Well, it's already connected to the Westin.
Right.
And it's directly across the street. It's going to have ample opportunity and ample space for everything that we want to bring in.
Right.
And we're going to be freeing up that space for other uses. Now, I have heard so many, many, many rumors about what it's going to be used for, and I've heard nothing official about any other moves.
Okay. Because the part of the rumor that I've heard, on top of the vendors, I had heard that Artist Alley is moving over there and such, too. But that had not been confirmed.
Yeah, no, I just want to make this quite clear that the way DragonCon works is they wrap up. The senior directors will be getting together within the next week or two, sometime before the end of the month, and they'll be having an amazing senior director meeting where they make a lot of the decisions for next year. We know, for instance, that the Wheel of Time track celebrated their last year, and there's some questions about some of the other tracks being rolled together. And I do not have confirmation on any of the other tracks, unfortunately. I'd love to be able to share with you, but things are being evaluated, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, very cool.
So would you say that then it's still a good time for people that have access to the app to go in and rate and leave those comments?
Well, that was one of the things we were going to talk about in the show. That is definitely something for folks to talk about.
Please do. Let DragonCon know what you liked, what you enjoyed. We obviously have a whole lot of evidence from the populations of the rooms at the beginning of the panels and at the end of the panels showing who showed up and who stayed, at least in numbers. But go in, use that app, rate your panels that you enjoyed, pass it on, let your friends know to rate the panels they enjoyed.
Exactly. That was, you know, don't get rid of the app yet, folks. There's still uses for it.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that, you know, one thing I've noticed this year, more than I've noticed it in years past, is that the individual tracks are, you know, utilizing things like Facebook, where they have their own, you know, they have a Facebook page where the directors are going, okay, tell us what you liked, what you think we could work on, you know, what guest you would love, you know, that kind of stuff. So they're asking for feedback. So it's, you know, if they're asking for it, you know, let them know your thoughts.
True.
Definitely true. I think it's, you know, it's a great, great thing that you're able to do all that. And, you know, let DragonCon know, because, you know, if you'd like somebody who was hosting it, there's even a comment section underneath the area to rate. You know,
if for instance, you like the folks from ESO, go to their panels, leave a note.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And for those who don't know, I haven't been to a panel in 4 years. So, and I'm lying with that. I went to a /fiction panel last year to give my all guy top five to celebrate my daughter coming out of the closet. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Mazel tov to you, sir.
it's a family thing, and I am not a fanfic reader or fanfic writer. I gave up fanfic when I learned how to actually write myself. But I did start with fanfic in 1968 at the age of five, writing anime fanfic. It was Gigantor and Amazing Three. Anyway, but I went to this panel, and that was the only panel that I made it to. I actually had two panels I was supposed to be on last year that I had to bow out of, and this year I had to bow out of a steampunk panel on mysticism in Victorian times, which I hope to do at some other convention.
That is awesome. That is really, really awesome. I think the Dragon Con app really, really came in handy this year. And yeah. I think it came into its own.
It was awesome. For the first year, I didn't use a program.
Yeah, exactly.
And the functionality was great. The updates were great. I didn't find it coming into conflict with what was actually going on ever. It was amazing.
I actually used the map feature. Like, yes. That actually was really helpful to me. And I thought I knew my way around, but there were a couple times that I was like, I'm in such a hurry, I have to get there right now, but I don't know where I'm going. And the app actually really helped.
Well, and that was the way that everything was connected together, that you could click on a panel and then the guest or then the map or then everything connected together. So everything you needed to know, you could get to in a couple of clicks.
Exactly.
It was right, because now that you mention that, I didn't use the Pocket program this year either. And I hadn't really given it much thought until you just said that.
Wow.
Hey, yeah.
See, Dragon Con is going green. It's awesome.
It's really easy to be green these days.
It's easier. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool. The only problem was not having
I see what you did there.
Ha 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 ha. That was cute. Well, it was good though. There was a lot about it that worked really, really well. And, it was interesting. I think we had talked about it when we were, doing our podcast at the show. Just the security presence also and such. It was amazing how much was out there.
Yeah, I thoroughly appreciated everybody checking the badges.
Yes.
Which I said, when we were recording Sunday night, I commented on that. But I just want to mention again, I think that was great. And it made me feel kind of even better about being at Con and about spending my time and money on it.
Did you have to do any more chugging?
Maybe.
I completely agree with Phantom. I mean, it did kind of clog up the entrances and exits a little bit, but the insides of the hotels were less crowded this year and there were more attendees of Dragon Con than in the past, because there were people just hanging around the bars going, look at those funny costumes, look at those hot chicks in the leather. I love that.
You overheard me?
I'm ready. Yeah, I overheard you. Everyone overheard you while you were fondling your nipple rings. So, I didn't mind waiting a couple minutes for someone outside to check the badges on the way in or check the hotel room keys on the way in so that you knew people inside were actually invitees to this party.
Exactly.
Right.
No, I think that worked out really, really well with it. And, but it worked out good, and it was neat because we actually had folks coming up to us who, when they found out who we were, and they actually listened to this podcast and thanked us for the advice that we were giving them and everything, what not to do. Even people who were going for their first time were using it, to help them get ahead.
That's awesome.
And everything, which was really neat. And the other thing with it was, you still had the idiots out there, the ones who were still trying to take pictures while going up the escalator or something, or stopping right in the habit trail, to take their pictures. But it felt like it wasn't as much this year. It also did help that they had the big signs when you were going through the walkways, no photography in walkways.
Yeah, I agree. There was one time, though, where I was going from the Hyatt to the Marriott, and it was just – and I got all the way through the little tunnel, but it was like once you actually get into the building but you're still in that hallway, it was completely stopped, like full of people. Like you couldn't keep walking. And I don't know what happened. Like maybe a panel had just gotten out. Maybe there was a line for a big panel that was blocking the hallway, but – thankfully, I know how to get from hotel to hotel going outside, so it ended up being fine, but it was just really strange. But other than that, I didn't have too much of a hard time.
No, there were a few times. I think it mostly coincided when panels were either getting in or letting out.
Yeah. Especially the big panels.
Exactly, because the ones that were upstairs in the Marriott.
They did try to, when I was in the one with Barrowman, they released us in waves. Mm-hmm. So there was some thinking about we can't let these 2,000 people or whatever it is walk out in the hype right now.
Because
there will be a huge mess outside. So there was some forethought that I witnessed about that. Right.
And
but
I noticed
still a lot of people. So, you know.
Yeah. I noticed the big ballrooms in the Marriott were doing that as well. Instead of letting all of those people that were in that trying to just squeeze through the tunnels, the habit trails, they were also opening the doors with the stairs that took you down to the motor lobby so you could walk across the street.
That's actually not a bad idea. No, that was one of the things. I got to explore the bowels of the SunTrust building this year because of, you know, trying to avoid the habit trails. And especially the clog between the food court, the Hyatt, and into where the blood bank was by the Marriott. I think that was one of the worst holdups of the hotels.
But you know, even the holdup wasn't that bad.
No,
I could have been a lot worse.
I enjoyed it because it was people watching, but you know, and everyone seemed pretty, you know, even keeled and everything. But there, you know, you had the occasional bozos. Mm-hmm. But sorry. You know, I know I'm being very nice about it, but but it was a good experience and everything. But I know, Dan, you're on a short time tonight. Any other comments you have for tonight?
A, I love Dragon Con, and I'm so blessed to be part of it. B, I love the way the city of Atlanta has embraced Dragon Con the way they did not embrace Dragon Con 10, 12, 15 years ago. It shows a couple of things. It shows a change in geek culture. And it shows also the awareness of what Dragon Con brings as a festivity, as a cultural event. Guys, if you're not aware of it, Dragon Con is the largest parade in the city of Atlanta, and we're pretty close to being the largest in the state. And I think we're just going to grow. And the parade is symbolic of what we celebrate and what we share with the city. That's really not as much fun as you might want, but it's also really cool to see celebrities and hang out with them and get their autographs and go to panels where they tell jokes and make fun of each other. And I will leave you with this one story that I was doing my job, and somebody came up to me from a media outlet in Canada and asked if they could use the interview room for an unscheduled interview with Joe Flanagan. And I said, well, you're a Canadian outlet, and he's Canadian, and he's been on Dawson's Creek. So, sure, let the Stargate star go in and have a few minutes while you interview him. And from behind me, I hear, I'm not Canadian. And he had actually been standing behind me while I said that.
Oops.
Well, I looked at him and said, yeah, but you're not going to deny you were on Dawson's Creek. I saw you. You were on a boat. And later I apologized to him, and he said, no, it's just he works in Canada, and, you know, he has this running feud with David Hewitt for years. So that's the type of thing that can happen to anybody at Dragon Con, not just a pudgy bald guy. So thanks for having me on. We love you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about greatest event in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And I love that I've gotten to know you guys and count you as my friends. So thank you.
Dan, you are always welcome on our show. And thank you for everything you've done for us with Dragon Con and just in general.
You're the best.
He is.
Oh, my God. I really need that as my ringtone. That's even that actually worked out better than the last time when she made fun of me and then said she loved me. So,
come on, I say sincere things from time to time.
Oh, no, you were sincerely making fun of me, so it worked out. And I love you, Mary, and I love you, Mike's, and other folks on the show, and Bobby, and Phantom.
Yes,
and
Phantom Troublemaker. His name's
Darren. I don't actually know Darren, so. Darren, we're going to
that's okay, Mr. Carroll. I saw you, but you didn't see me.
Oh, no, please don't call me that. Oh, no. Oh, fading. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Later. Laters.
Bye, Dan.
Hello, my name is Sasha, otherwise known as Mr. Creature on the ESO Network show Dr. Geek's Laboratory. And I was at Dragon Con for all of the days, and I had a fantastic time. I was extraordinarily lucky to be asked to speak on many, 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 many panels to do with British television, which is one of my great loves, especially having been born in England. I've always wanted to and always tried to keep up with all of the shows that come through. And I was able to perform with two bands that are friends of mine, This Way to the Egress and The Extraordinary Contraptions. And I was also able to perform with Artsy, which is the Atlanta Radio Theater Company, in the capacities of their play, The Woodbound Werewolf, and an adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's The Rats in the Walls, which was very much in the old radio drama format style of live actors on mics and Foley and music behind it. And I think probably my three most favorite memories from this Dragon Con were having the opportunity to ask Rose McGowan a few questions that were Uncharmed related and more about acting, having a sit-down chat with Sylvester McCoy for a bit, and going up to a hotel room and sitting with all of my friends from many different locations in the States and watching the new episode of Doctor Who together.
So now that we've survived Dragon Con and, you know, our initial thoughts on, you know, what we really liked and everything, one of the things I did notice that I really was grateful for, and thank you, City of Atlanta and Peachtree Center, was the opening of the CVS down at Peachtree Center.
Yes.
Yeah.
That became a lifesaver for quite
people. That CVS saved my life.
It was awesome because we didn't have that before. This just opened this year, folks. And it was a 24-hour fully stocked CVS.
Well, let's get to one of the negatives here. Fully stocked sometimes.
Maybe on Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursdays and Fridays. But if you went there Saturday and Sunday, things were kind of hit and miss for things like water and painkillers and things like that, things that should be on hand.
Well, you had 54,000 people. Of course the painkillers and the condoms will be gone, you know?
Hey. Wow.
I got to tell you, you got to plan ahead and bring your own stuff. I bring a pharmacy with me.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Well, but there are times when
just because Bobby, they were out of Nash. Imodium.
Oh. Lord.
Wow.
But you can't count on that. I mean, there were places where we went. It seems like, well, the hotel staff was great this year, and the con staff really had their act together this year, and I commend them for that. It seemed that the people providing food nearby were just not prepared for the level of crowds they were getting.
No, I agree. And it did seem like Dan said there were like 55,000 people. It felt like there were more.
Yeah.
It felt like there was substantially a lot more than past years.
Well, I mean, once you stepped out of the, you know, the hotels and went, to go places. Yeah. The bubble. I mean, there was a huge, you know, like always, there was a huge college football presence. And especially, you know, we felt it really because we were staying at a hotel that was near Centennial Park. So we had a little bit of a hike. But beyond that, we just noticed that there were very, very few Dragon Con attendees there with us. It was mostly football folks. But between, you know, the Dragon Con attendees and the football crowd, I mean, a lot of the area restaurants and a lot of other places just ran out of stuff. I mean, it was just – I mean, I was very surprised going into Meehan's, and they had hardly any Irish food left at all. Had plenty to drink, so they had stocked up on that. But I couldn't even get fish and chips, for Christ's sake. So that was, like, really shocking. I mean, they had this, like, basic menu that I could have gotten anywhere, and that was that was disappointing. So.
And a lot of places did that. I mean,
yes.
there was a place in the mall, but the sit-down restaurants converted to, like, burgers, fries. It was a very bare-bones selection, really, in a lot of places.
And that was the Mexican place.
And
in
some places just closed early because they ran out of food.
right? Someone told me they went to a pizza parlor and they were like, oh, we're out of pepperoni.
Oh yeah, that was Jason and Rita. They went to Ozio's.
Yeah,
little Ozio's ran out of pepperoni. This is a tragedy, folks.
I did not run into that problem, and I don't know why. I went to the food court like a few times, and I ate in my room most of the time. And the few times that I did go out, I didn't run into that.
Now, most of the food places, you know, we were successful, and you know, we went to a couple different places, you know, with folks, and never had problems with them. Oh, we're out of this or out of that, but there were, like Mike said, the menu was limited. You could tell they had to cut stuff off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And such. So, you know, and it's surprising because these places have been there for years, and Dragon Con, what, 26 years now?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, as Dan just said, they estimated that they got at least 10,000 more people there this year. So, I mean, you can stock up and go, okay, well, we're ready. But then all of a sudden, 10,000 people, more people come. You're like, oh, crap, we're not.
And,
you know,
and that's just Dragon Con. That's not taking into account the 3 football games.
No, and people
NASCAR
just come.
Presence, the book fest.
I mean, I think
presence.
That what brings in the value of bringing your own food. Like, we advised people to do that on previous shows. And I just think, you know, stuff like that exemplifies why having your own food is such a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Well,
plus it's convenient.
It is a great idea for convenience and a great idea for cost-cutting measures, but there's some really good restaurants in downtown Atlanta as well. And I think that, to me, is part of the experience as well. I mean, going to Meehan's or going to Trader Vic's or going to places like that, I mean, that, to me, enhances the experience. So while it's not necessary, I think it's just more of a situation where there's just a crap load of people there, and you know, I think that's probably one of the main complaints about the show as well. I mean, certainly a lot of old school Dragon Con folks avoid it now because it's too crowded, and I don't think it's too crowded for me, especially you know, heck, I just came from San Diego you know, a couple months ago, so I know crowds. And as crowded as Dragon Con is, it's not as bad as it could be. So I don't think a lot of people really appreciate how well they manage the crowds. Because, you know, the isolated incidences that we saw, that there were a lot of people packed in lines and such, it really wasn't that bad. I think kind of the drawback, though, is that you really do kind of have to choose – I mean, really early, what you want to see. For example, totally. Some of the things like the burlesque show or the puppet slam or anything like that, unless you're willing to like line up 5 hours early, you're probably not going to get in.
Well, and there's another issue, and this is something that I don't have an answer for, but somebody smarter than me, and there are plenty of people in the world that are going to have to think about, is the whole, because they won't tell you a line is starting until an hour before the panel.
No, I saw some pretty angry people about that.
Then you end up with this huge group of people just milling about. Whoever got there first isn't necessarily the beginning of the line, because they won't tell you where the line is forming.
Yeah.
They're going to have to do some thinking and figure out a system for that.
Very much so. I saw people in line for Stan Lee, and they were lined down the hall in the Marriott, down the Habit Trail, and almost all the way up into towards the Hyatt. And people were coming out, this isn't the line. You have to go down the stairs.
Yes,
and
these
people had been waiting for an hour and a half.
Right, and they can't let that happen. And I understand the organization that they want to occur, but at the same time, you can't let things like that happen to your customers.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's just wrong.
If people are lining up, they're going to have to let them start. Like, because I ran into that too, and I was like, is this even the line? Like, why am I waiting in this? Is this? And it turned out fine, but like, I ran into a lot of people that had the same issue.
Yeah. You shouldn't wonder if you're in line for something.
Yeah. You should find a Dragon Con staff member and say, is this the line for so-and-so? Yes or no?
Don't worry, I did, but a lot of people don't do that.
I know you did. I meant the people who didn't. know.
Well, that's the problem, though, is this is my specific example, the wrestling, which, as you all know, is quite important to me. I got to the wrestling an hour and a half before start time, asked one of the staffers about, you know, where's the line going to be? Oh, there's no line. There's hardly any people here yet. Everybody's just kind of hanging around right now. Well, where's the line going to be? And he's like, well, there's just not a line yet. Half an hour later, my buddy texts me like, where are you? And I was like, I'm outside wrestling. And he's like, well, we're in line. What are you talking about? You're in line. And the line is across the ballroom hallway, the lobby way. And it formed up a few minutes after I got there.
Oh, you're kidding.
So, and fortunately, you know, I, you know, being who I am, I was able to secure good seats, but, it still really irritated me that it wasn't necessarily the guy wasn't informed. It was, he didn't care to be informed.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And these are volunteers, and I think a lot of them do an excellent job. The guy that was outside managing a portion of the Puppet Slam line was fantastic. I wish I'd gotten his name. If anybody listens to this, he was right in front of the Hyatt and right. But seriously, this guy was fantastic. He knew where to send me. He knew exactly what information to give me. He was very courteous and kind. And, you know, I know not every volunteer is going to be that, but he was a great example and was very, very helpful. Whereas the guy in front of the wrestling was utterly useless, did nothing to attempt to help me.
You know, I was really impressed by a lot of the hotel staff that were standing like at the escalators and just at various points throughout the hotels giving directions. You know, some of them were really rude, and you know what? Like, I would be rude too, because that was probably the worst job ever. But most of the people that I ran into were really nice and really helpful. And I was very impressed by just the number of people and the number of helpful people they had doing that this year.
Yeah, I was impressed with the Sheraton and the Hilton because they had people in costume.
Did you see the penguin at the Sheraton?
Yes.
Oh, that guy was awesome.
Brilliant. Brilliant. It was wonderful to see them get into it.
Yes.
You know, get into the spirit of what was going on. That was wonderful. So,
well, yeah. If you talk to the staff, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hectic and it's busy and it's tough, but it breaks up their monotonous year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I gotta give it to the Marriott too, because that part from the lobby right next to the Pulse Bar, that is always a congested area coming up and down the escalators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I, every time I came through there this year, there wasn't a pile up at the top, that they kept it moving. And I thought they did a really good job with it. There was always one or two at both escalators. And I thought they did a really good job keeping the traffic flowing so people weren't stopping at the top of the escalators to take photos.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Keep moving, keep moving. Mm-hmm.
Moving, keep moving.
I think I heard that in my sleep at least.
I know, right?
Oh, shut up.
I definitely heard it a few times in the room.
I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I knew you were going to.
Well, we knew how you were dressed in the room, so.
So this is the rest of the world now.
Dude.
But, you know, what changes can you guys see coming for next year? Or would you like to see?
Well, the movement of the dealers in the exhibit hall over to the America's Mart is going to be significant, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for the dealers. I think it's a good thing for the exhibitors because, you know, that certainly those folks that are used to shopping downstairs in the Hilton are going to be relieved because the Marriott, where it's just all hot, sweaty, congested, and just packed full of like sardines full of people. And that's just no way to encourage anybody to spend a dollar there. So,
Exhibitor halls upstairs in the Marriott. Are like that quite often where you can't get through them.
Yeah. So a space that lets them breathe a little bit, actually, if it's a big space and lets them encourage, you know, more dealers to come, that's even more awesome. You know, it's almost like having a con within a con, so to speak. So you could have like this sort of convention floor with a lot of dealers and exhibitors and attract some really big names. You know, I mean, yeah, there's speculation I've heard that, you know, oh, they're going to try to get DC and Marvel and that kind of thing. Well, I know that's not going to happen. But You know, they could get some really higher profile dealers as well. So that would be pretty cool. That's a pretty exciting spot. I'm kind of wondering. And I've said that they're also going to move the Walk of Fame area over back over to the Marriott. So I'm guessing that's going to be in the spot that the exhibitor hall was in. So right. I'm not sure what that means for the Hilton, because that's the only reason I think people go to the Hilton. So
well the gaming is there.
Yeah, oh, well, the gaming's in the Hilton, and you don't have to worry about the Hilton because the Hilton opened up their reservations for next year and sold out the same day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of having events at the show, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what that means in terms of, you know, what, I mean, I guess with gamers, and they'll probably open up, you know, I guess we'll have to see what kind of panels and things like that they go. I still, you know, I'm kind of sad. I've still never been to the Westin, so I have no idea what goes on there. I've heard things, but I don't know.
I had some panels.
If you would have come to your panel that day, would have gone to the Westin.
We know why I didn't.
Yes,
so.
I know.
That's the Dr. Hugh zone over at the Westin.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's Q's, the alternate history.
And Stargate,
and it's also the Whedonverse.
Whedonverse is
over there, and I think more are supposed to be moving over there next year.
You know, so. The Westin is not bad, and it's you know, people go, oh, it's down the it's not a bad walk.
It's an easy walk unless
you have a panel that starts while the parade is happening.
It depends
because like last year I stayed in the Hilton, and so going to the Sheraton was like no big deal, and this year I was in the Hyatt, so going to the Westin was no big deal, but going from the Hyatt to the Sheraton was like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
I really wish, and this is this has no relevance on reality of the con, but for me personally, I wish they would move Artist Alley to the Marriott or the Hilton. Because I want to go there every single day, probably a couple times a day. But it's in the Hyatt, and it's so far away from me.
It's in the and it's in the bottom of the Hyatt.
Yeah,
the bowels of the Hyatt.
I like the Artist Alley being connected to the art show.
Well, and that's the thing I think that's vital.
I think it's a great space. I mean, since they've moved it, I mean, it's so packed there that I mean, we get so many crowds. The walk by traffic is amazing. So I don't think people are having a hard time finding it. I think, and you know, there's been talks. You know, Mike just said there's a rumor that they might move that as well. And I'm kind of nervous about that because we've got a good thing going, and I don't want to like ruin it. But you know, we'll have to see how that works. So I know that Tom's got some ideas for next year, but of course he'll have to go with whatever you know the directors want to do. So, but I should say that. That it's no longer like the black sheep of Dragon Con. I mean, I think that area is now one of the highlights of Dragon Con.
Yeah,
so,
the art show was crowded every time I went in there. Every time I went in there, it was crowded.
Right. So that's a really good thing. So I think, you know, they want it to continue to grow. I'm not sure they want. See, here's the thing, though. I'm not sure they want the convention to grow because, I mean, really, I mean. How many people can they really manage? And I think it's a challenge to them that they keep getting more and more people. You know, they kind of estimate every year, oh, we're going to get this many, and it always exceeds their estimate. So I'm wondering, you know, how many people they think they can, you know, how big can Dragon Con get?
Well, that's, you know, one of the people I was talking to is worried about. Do you think maybe Dragon Con would eventually collapse under its own weight? Because there's only so many hotels that could spread out to right there.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think there's only so many hotels that can host. I mean, I think we've kind of almost got at the limit of that. And how far people are willing to walk to stuff. Mm. I think across the street is about as far. So... I think if you start putting stuff down like closer to downtown or closer to Centennial Park or something like that,
that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, that is not going to happen. I mean, years ago when they tried to host the whole convention down at America's Mart, it didn't work. They tried it for a couple years and it just wasn't the same thing. So they really are going to keep within the hotels that they have, I think. And, you know, I think a couple of other things to consider is that I think what my two of the hotels are up for sale.
Yes, the Hilton is up for sale, and the Marriott is actually up for sale.
Wow. So, I mean, that could impact things as well.
You know, I think that's actually a great point, Mom, because I don't know if you guys have heard of all the restrictions that the Marriott's placing on their reservations for next year and how just ridiculously difficult it's becoming to get a reservation. So, like, how difficult is it going to become? Are they going to start having to place a cap on attendance? Like, are people going to work that hard just to get in because of the number of people that there are? Like, I know there's a point where I just wouldn't do it. Like, I just wouldn't bother with it. And I don't think that we're there. I don't think that it'll happen in the next couple of years, if I can help it. But I think that there's a point. I think we'll get there eventually.
Well, everyone gets to that point where enough's enough.
Exactly. You know? And it also, and it, like, we have to be careful, though, because we have to see who takes over the hotels, too.
Yeah. And if we get some management in the hotel who says, no, we don't want your money because you people are more trouble than we're worth.
I mean, the Marriott is getting to that point. Like, they're not letting you transfer any reservations. Everything is non-refundable. Basically, if you don't make your reservation right the first time, that's it. You're not getting your money back. You can't give it to somebody else. You're screwed.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Because I wouldn't make a reservation with a hotel that I couldn't rebook or change anything about, period.
I think not just the Marriott is doing that, though, this year. I think the Hyatt is doing that also.
I didn't hear anything about that when I was checking out, and I asked several questions.
Right.
I mean, it might be possible, but that's where I want to stay, and I'm going to be really pissed if they're doing that.
Well, here's the list right now. The Westin is taking reservations now, according to DragonCon site.
That's great.
The Hyatt's going to be taking them starting online only October 2nd, so you can't call, and that's at 10 a.m. Eastern. The Marriott is going to be taking reservations beginning October 10th at 9 a.m. Eastern. And the Hilton is sold out. No word on the Sheraton.
They were taking reservations during the show.
Yeah, the Sheraton is already taking reservations. I don't know if they're sold out or not. But they are not sold out yet.
Can we post a link to that?
It's on DragonCon.org. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll put the link to the hotel page.
Yeah. So
on the notes, so everyone can see.
And you know, there are some other smaller hotels nearby. I wouldn't suggest the Ritz if you're on a budget.
No,
but there's a Courtyard by Marriott. There's a couple other options near there that DragonCon's not in.
Right.
You might want to look at as well. They might not be as insane.
No, because like literally catty corner to the Hyatt is the Best Western right there. Then also is Hyatt Place right there also.
And last year,
we stayed at Econo Lodge, though, by the Hilton.
No. And don't go to the Motel 6 either.
Yeah. And last year, we stayed at the Hampton Inn, and that was very, really good. So I'm kind of partial to them anyway, but it was a good stay. Yeah, it comes with a free breakfast. So
free breakfast
and free Wi-Fi. So.
That's true.
I didn't even
bring my computer this year to Dragon Con. I didn't want to deal with it in the hotel room and such.
I wish I hadn't.
I'm sorry.
that happened.
Swing and a miss.
Woof. Yeah. This previous year, with Dragon Con, there were a few hotels that did change hands. So just be prepared for that, folks. Yeah. It's going to happen again this year.
You know, there was a kind of a muck up because this year there was a hotel that changed hands and they lost all the reservations and everything too. So if you're making your reservations, get your confirmation number. Don't lose your confirmations. Just, you know, make sure that you have everything on record from what, you know, when you place your order.
Something in a safe place, you know. And I'm hoping to get this episode out by Thursday. $65 tickets are still available till Friday the 14th.
Isn't that crazy? Oh,
that's wonderful.
Yes. So if you go to DragonCon.com and
you can pre-reg.
Exactly. You can pre-reg for the con price.
And that's the other thing that went really well. Did anyone wait longer than like half an hour unless you were in that initial line to get their badge?
No.
I waited possibly 3 to 5 minutes this year, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. And I got there like at noon on Thursday.
Yes. No, it
that
was...
That was insanely quick, so congratulations, DragonCon, for fixing the heck out of that.
No, even the Saturday badges went very quickly.
Wow.
From what I've heard. Even for those who pre-ordered and for those who just walked up, I've not heard one complaint about registration.
Yes.
And, you know, they're... Facebook is full of some haters, or we've started calling them trolls. And they pretty much, you know, there's been instances with a couple friends of the show having issues with the photography and stuff like that. But we don't really want to get into that. That's for them to deal with.
Yeah.
And people saying because of, oh, we're not going back to DragonCon ever again. They suck. The management should have been. And it's like, no, let's not even go there. But the people who have been bad mouthing it and saying they're not coming back because of the size, because the people, it's like, fine. Somebody else is going to take your place.
So yeah, you're going to be like that. We don't need you around.
No, exactly.
Yeah, no. Just admit that DragonCon's not your thing, and we'll move on.
Exactly. You know, have fun watching the parade on the news, or you know, looking at the pictures on AJC.
Just go be a douchebag somewhere else.
Exactly. We don't want you.
Douchebagger.
Exactly. And you know, if DragonCon's not your thing, you tried it. That's cool, and I hope you have some good memories from it. But you know, if it's not your thing, don't come back and ruin it for everybody else.
Seriously.
Right, because there are a few constants that are going to happen. If you don't like crowds, this might not be the show for you.
Yes. Yeah, this is not the show for you.
No, and
if you don't like waiting in line, this might not be the show. You know,
no. Yeah. Well, go to San Diego. No,
you know what though?
Like,
if you don't want to wait in line, you don't have to though.
Right.
Like that's kind of one of the awesome things is there's enough.
There's something
to
else
do just being there. Like you can really avoid lines if you don't have to see the big guests or the big panels or whatever, you can still have tons of stuff to do and not wait in a line hardly ever.
Oh, and let me give you guys a little hint. There are rooms throughout the hotels that have DragonCon TV on. If you don't want to go to some of these big panels are on DragonCon TV.
And yeah, sometimes you can even hear them.
Exactly.
a friend of mine actually said that for the first time this year, like he goes to the masquerade almost every year. And he had a difficult time getting into it this year. But a friend of his actually had a room. And so they went up to see it on DragonCon TV. And he's like, I'm doing that all the time now.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I saw it better than I could have if I was there.
Exactly.
And, you know, I didn't have to deal with the crowd. I didn't have to wait in line. And it was just, he said, and we just hung out, like, drinking and watching the masquerade up in the room. And, I mean, that's, you know, that's cool, too.
Right. We watched the costume contests and everything. Yeah. It was awesome. We watched it right on DragonCon TV. Or I'll fully admit it. I was pretty hungover on Friday morning.
No.
And so I didn't want to get up to go wait in line for John Barrowman. I watched him on DragonCon TV with William. You know,
Friday morning, you were already hungover. Sir.
Dude, Thursday night. Dave.
Thursday is crazy now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
that,
it is.
That was a shock to me because I can remember when, you know.
Thursday was get your badge, go back to your room.
Yeah, and I can also I saw more people there this year on Thursday night than I did some years on Friday. So
yes.
I mean it
and there were people in costumes and everything already.
Oh yeah.
And let me segue into this talking about changes and talking about Thursday. Do you guys think there's any chance that they'll open up the rooms and whatnot on Thursday, like the dealer room and the exhibitors halls and what everything?
I don't think the exhibitor halls or the dealer's room on Thursday, but the rumor going around is for this next year, they're going to have panels starting on Thursday.
Yeah, I did hear that one, that there's a possibility of panels. Yeah.
I think if they move the dealer room over there, I mean, I would say, hey, there's no reason why. I mean, these vendors are here to make money. I say open it up, you know, to folks starting on Thursday and open it. I don't want to say keep it open all night, but keep it open later so that people, you know, when they went throughout the day to go to the panels and such, they can still go over there and do some shopping at night.
No, I think that would be great to have the vendor room open till 8 o'clock.
Yeah, know? I mean, yeah. My options, because I'm working the table, are kind of limited.
You know, I at 7 o'clock, I'm like, okay, now I have to, you know, get some food, and then what am I going to do? And there's plenty to do, obviously, but I don't get to go to the dealer room because they keep the same hours.
Because either. It's the same hours. Mind you, didn't the art show close early on Monday, like at 2 or 3 or something like that?
No, the comic area, this is weird. The artist alley closed at 3 and the art show closed at 5. Which made no sense to me at all. So
that
I don't
made know, no sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. And it was a little misleading too, because the comic area, the artist alley area, said it was open till 7. And while technically that was kind of true, they didn't let anybody in starting at 6. So like if you came by at 6 o'clock, they wouldn't let you in. Everybody who was still in there could hang out and buy stuff or look around until 7 when everybody left. So, it was kind of misleading for people who came over to the pop art area and they wanted to, you know, after 6 o'clock, they couldn't get in.
Yeah, they need to say it closes at 6 if they're going to do that.
That's exactly. What, yeah.
And it does
you have an hour left or something
right.
like that.
And it does take a while to get people out of those rooms.
Yes, it does.
No, it takes a while to get people out of any of those, any kind of room or something. Trust us, we know.
Ah, goodness.
But
so yes, it is not too soon to prepare for next year.
No,
never.
As Mike said, tickets are $65 until the 14th of September. Then they go up to $75 the 5th until November 15th. Then they'll be $85, and this is for the whole weekend.
This is 4-day passes, folks.
Yes, till February 15th, so you can get them for Valentine's Day. I know. Then there are $100 till May 15th, $115 until July 13th, and if you're going to get them at the door, they're going to be $130. So it really, I mean, you can get them for half that price right now. And
considering that the registration problems have been taken care of, I'm going to get my badge early.
Yeah, it really makes sense to do so.
No, that postcard has come in handy.
No, I was giving them 2 years to figure it out. You know, have you figured it out yet? Yeah, you have. Okay. So,
I just wish I had that $2,000 for that lifetime pass. I think that
would
be so amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of figured that out, and if I did that, then I probably wouldn't make do on it because I'd have to go like in order for it to make money, I'd have to or pay for itself. I'd have to be going for the next 30 years, and I don't know if I can guarantee that.
You know, it's so funny. When I first started going to Dragon Con, those Eternal memberships were just a couple $100.
I know, right?
Like, man, who would – yeah, that's a lot of money.
I can remember when they were $500 and I was going – because I contemplated it then.
Like,
I was like,
Jesus Christ, who do these people think they are? And lo and behold.
Yeah.
Should have bought Xerox when it was, you know.
I see some folks that have had them since then too, and I thought they were crazy getting them. But yeah, they're walking around going, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
like that were those time travel fans. They knew.
They knew. That Doctor Who track.
My God.
So let's shoot it around the room. Is there anything that you could think of that you either didn't get a chance to do or you definitely want to make sure that it's a high priority for next year?
I could easily say that one. I didn't get to go shopping at all this year.
Wow.
There you go.
No. I usually put off my shopping till Monday because it's the least busy day. And also it's the day you can find bargains because people don't want to take the stuff back with them. And so we always leave Monday to their shopping day. Sunday night after we did the podcast, William was starting to feel really sick. And so we ended up staying Sunday night at the hotel room. But Monday morning we decided that's it. You know, we checked out of the hotel like 9:30 and we were gone and we didn't come back. So I didn't get any shopping in at all this year.
Think of the money William saved you.
William saved you.
Exactly. Oh, trust me. Trust me. Mike and I were talking about that on instant message earlier today. And it was like, how much do you think you would have spent? A couple hundred.
Yeah,
exactly. So easily. And t-shirts and toys and all the other crap I would have bought. But yeah, so that's what I missed out on the most. You know, I didn't go to any of the big panels this year, but I didn't have time, you know, either between doing ESO stuff or doing my panels or taking William to see some of the stuff he wanted to see or just socializing with everybody. I didn't get to, I think I went to 2 panels that I wanted to go see.
Yeah, I think that was probably it for me. I only made it like to the Walk of Fame once, and I, you know, because Saturday and Sunday, I mean, I was booked from, you know, first thing in the morning until, you know, into the early evenings on panels. So I didn't get to see, I didn't get to attend panels unless I was on them, and I didn't get so I didn't get the, you know, I would have loved to have, you know, gone to the Richard Dean Anderson panel, because, you know, this is a guy that you never see at shows. And I didn't get to do any of that, but
Yeah, I totally understand that. And it was tight, but it was fun. You know, I don't think I rested for a little bit, and that was one of the pluses about staying at one of the main hotels, was being able to do that. If I wanted to go up to the room to change or hit a quick shower or something, because I got too sweaty doing something, you know, I was able to do that.
I'd say the thing that I want to make sure and do next year is remember to show up for the ESO meetup.
There was an ESO meetup? Nobody showed for it, so.
Well, you know, oh, really? Am I not the only one?
No, you weren't the only one.
I will tell you one that'll
Wait,
make you
Wait, there was fishy. A meetup? For real?
Like I said.
Well, yeah, there was a planned meetup, and I was already up to my nipples in 80.
When was it? When was it?
If we both
remember, we made that plan to meet at the Pulse Bar, and we were going to go to the Mexican place, and you were supposed to meet us after something that you had to get done.
Hey, I went to the Mexican place.
Hey, she was there, sir.
Oh, were you? See, I totally was.
You
was
were Mr. You were Mr. Dehydrated and
okay.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was so
now. We had talked about having a little meetup at Mike Gordon's table in Artist Alley.
Yeah, oh,
and Troublemaker, you would have loved it, because I was there for one of them, and we were just a few of us that were there were starting to break up, and Bill, Mike's cousin Bill, was like, I'm gonna run to the bathroom. Can you watch the table? And I'm like, sure, no problem. So I'm sitting behind their table, and these guys come up, and they're looking, and they see the ESO postcards, and they're like, oh, ESO, do you guys know Phantom Troublemaker?
Oh,
what you missed?
Are you serious?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nice.
Oh yeah. So,
apparently they had met you obviously somewhere, because they. Like, yeah, you know, he's got the cool mask. I'm like, yeah, I know who he is.
Well, we know him quite well. And now, after tonight, we know him even better now.
I think it only gets better from here on out.
Next year, I want to sell, if we're moved to the Exhibitor Hall, I want to have Phantom Troublemaker action figures for sale.
Oh, that's my dream.
He wants to be a toy.
We all know what the variant figure is going to look like.
I have amazing freaking powers. Don't worry.
No, we actually
had only $10 more. You can have the adult variant.
Ooh, and the blow up Dalek.
There's that voice.
Right,
blow up Dalek.
But we actually had some few folks stop by to say hi at Mike's table when we did the ESO meet and greet, and we even had Dr. Scott there with us one of the days.
Yep,
Scott.
So it was actually really cool. And, you know, we'll hopefully do something even more next year. And, you know, yeah, so hopefully each year we'll have a bigger presence. So
as long as we can do the meetup before I start getting tipsy, I'm good.
So
that
Wednesday.
Would have to be Tuesday.
Tuesday would be good. Yeah.
Well, you have to realize, Darren, you know, when I did the spreadsheet, you know, every day, you know, we put everyone's panels. Just for you, we put party all the way across.
You weren't lying, sir. You were not lying there. So, you know.
Definitely not.
You'll have to put me on a panel next year, so I'll have to quasi-behave, I suppose.
Well, we're hoping next year to actually have a podcast panel, and we'll have all of us up there.
Oh, sweet. And we'll see.
With an audience this time. So
just only have it between the hours of, like, noon and 5.
Noon and 5, yeah, exactly.
That's about all we can handle.
Wuss.
No, we need to wake up and
be able to get up, and then, like, we need to have it before things get too crazy.
Yeah, because we need to have our showtime faces on, you know. We can't just roll up in there all hungover and crap. Come on.
Well, come on. I'm saying noon is
too early. It's going to be a realistic portrayal of podcasting.
Hey, I'm not drunk right now. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's a school night. We're having to dry out the liver. You know, mine's hanging up in my bathroom right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's try and go air,
I get my one day off tomorrow, so I'm plastered.
Oh, good man.
Nice. Well, cool. You know, any other parting memories you want to do to warn people for 2013?
I'd like to shoot a parting memory to if you were one of the women who was married, looking at the group of the six guys dancing together down at the Freeze Pop concert / DJ Nemesis rave, and one of the guys came up to you and said, and asked your husband, "Can I play with your boobies?" That dude is actually straight. Sorry.
Oops.
It was called gay camouflage, and you fell for it. So there you go.
Awesome.
How's that for a story I can actually tell without giving too much away? But that gives you a little peek into why I'm being kind of quiet.
You're just sitting over there grinning.
I am. It was wonderful. It was epic. It was epic.
That is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, I think we all had successful Dragon Cons one way or another. And, you know, like you said, if, you know, you do have memories and you want to share with us, you know, send them to us still. We'll put them up on ESO on a regular show. You know, we'll fit them into our shows and stuff. Because, you know, Dragon Con doesn't really end when the convention ends. You have to start as soon as it's over, within a day or two, you're preparing.
There are people that are already working on their costumes for next
year. Well, and there are so many other cons around the country. Like, if you enjoy Dragon Con, there's no reason you can't go to a smaller local con. I mean, it won't be the same, but, like, that's why I call it Chasing the Dragon all year. Like, that's why I go to so many cons. I'm just trying to recapture Dragon Con. And I encourage everyone to go to a smaller con. Like, they can be just as much fun if your friends are there and if there's enough alcohol involved.
Right.
Exactly.
We're actually going to be up in Nashville in 3 weeks.
You all coming to GMX?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
The comic and horror one.
Oh, that's that thing.
Yeah. But you know, there is a cool place where you can hear all about a lot of these smaller local shows.
And where would that be, Bobby?
Mike, where would that be? Where would that be, Mike?
Well, every week I do a con report.
There you go.
There you go.
Try to capture just a little piece of the Dragon Con for everybody all year round.
Exactly.
Yep. And my faves are MegaCon in Orlando and Heroes up in Charlotte. So there you go. Yes,
both good shows.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And
I really want to hit Heroes next year.
Well, heroes.
I could probably, the conventions I think I'd love to hit next year. I would love to hit the Emerald City Con in Seattle. I've heard great things about. I went the first year years and years ago, and it was real, real small, and it's grown immensely. It's like one of the biggest cons in the Pacific Northwest now. Also, of course, Gallifrey would love to go to. That's the largest Doctor Who convention in North America. And then also I would like to, of course, go to San Diego.
Yeah.
This year, looking into that, you know, ways to get that done. And then, of course,
not a small con though, sir.
Well, in some places it is, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And let's not overlook Days of the Dead here in Atlanta in February.
That's true.
The first horror convention in Atlanta. Last year's was in Peachtree City, and it was awesome. Had a great time, and I'll be there again in February. But that's a big deal. It's a good con. It's a little pre-produced feeling. Mm-hmm. It's not really a fan con, but they get some great guests, and it's a fun time. And as with any con, if you're with the right people, you bring your own party.
Right.
That's true.
So true.
And, you know, also other good cons in the Atlanta area. There's Timegate, which is Memorial Day weekend, which is a Stargate and Doctor Who convention, and they're going to actually have their first Doctor Who this coming year.
Yay!
They're going to have Colin Baker. So Doctor number 6 is going to be in Atlanta. So it's going to be very, very cool.
I just encourage everyone to look into that. Look into a smaller con, because I know a lot of people that Dragon Con is the only thing that they do, and I think that that's great, but I think you're missing out a lot too.
No, agreed. I agree. Agreed.
If anything, you know, I mean, it actually enhances your Dragon Con experience, because there's been several times where I've gone to small shows and I've met people that I probably, yeah. And one thing that we can connect with is that we've either been to Dragon Con, mm-hmm. or, you know, they've at least heard of it, so we can, you know, tell stories. And then sure enough, oh, they're at Dragon Con now. Hey, you know, I saw you at this show, and you get, you know, you can connect with other folks better.
Well, speaking of that, I met you guys at a small con, and
that's true.
It greatly enhanced my Dragon Con. I mean, I sincerely want to thank you guys for bringing me in and for making me part of this, because it's been an awesome time. I've thoroughly enjoyed everything that we've done, and I can't wait to see what else we end up doing.
I think I might go for almost
absolutely
all
agree.
I think I mm-hmm. met. Yep. I think I met almost every single one of you for the first time at a con.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, most. Yeah, almost. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Darren, I met actually through his podcast, and then having him on our show.
The secret origin of ESO.
Yeah. Exactly. Ha ha ha.
That's why I said almost.
Ha ha ha. Okay. Don't want to go for my Dr. Horrible laugh.
Just your horrible laugh.
Exactly. Gee, thanks, Mike. So you'll be able to find us back on our regular ESO podcast and also ESW, the Our Station Who podcast. Darren is on the Legion of Substitute Podcasters.
That's correct, sir.
They do Legion of Superheroes through the years and modern stuff even weekly. Mm-hmm. And we do. They've done over 200 episodes, folks. It's well worth checking out.
Yeah, we're almost on our fourth year anniversary. So yay!
Wow.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Pretty awesome.
That is very, very cool.
We publish more regularly than Marvel and DC. Look at that.
Whoa.
That more often.
Hold on. No, Mary, of course, can be found at all the different cons. And how else can people find you, Mary?
MaryLuhu.com. I'll have all of my Dragon Con coverage coming up there. Hopefully pretty soon. It's actually my website's 2-year anniversary this month, which is pretty weird. But yeah, so I'll have everything up there. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, Mary Lou Who. You'll find me.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on 2 years too. Very good.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Seriously.
Phantom, how can people find you other than ESW?
I am on Facebook in 3 different places, which is really absurd, but that's how I roll. I'm on Instagram as I think just Phantom Troublemaker on Instagram.
Yeah, that's just come
be
with
careful.
A warning.
That's, yeah. That's adults only.
Yes, no William Faber, no looking at.
I'm on Twitter as Phantom Troublemaker. And then I've also got a page I'm on El Phantasmus on Facebook, and then I've got a page for Needless Things, which is my blog at phantomtroublemaker.blogspot.com. And that's probably enough. You don't need any more than that.
Say your Dragon Con write up on your blog is quite entertaining.
Here,
thank
yes.
you very much.
Good job.
For the conclusions and such. So that'll be fun.
Awesome. That is cool. And of course, Bobby, how can people find you?
Well, every week I am here on Earth Station 1, so you know that's always easy to find us there. I'm on my website is bobbynash.com. On there you can find links to Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, so.
Very nice. Very, very nice. And, of course, Bobby Nash is, you know, a star on his own, so what can you say?
I do what I can.
That is so true. That is so darn true, if it, you know. His star just grows greater and greater every week, folks, as we know. So, Mike, how about
you?
Sorry,
you can't see me blushing through the microphone, sir.
All right, you, Mike, what about?
Well, of course, you can hear me every week on ESO and right now weekly on ESW. So that's fun. So if you want to listen to me, I'm available that way. If you want to read my stuff, you can go to newlegendproductions.com or just my blog, which is newlegendmike.com. So you can go there. That'll also show any of the appearances at cons or elsewhere that I'm going to be at as well. So
exactly. All of us, you know, We want to thank everybody for helping us out and everything. Of course, me, I can be found on Facebook as Mike Faber, as Earth Station One, and the Earth Station Who. Anything dealing with any of the Earth Station stuff, that's me. I can be found up on Twitter as ESW_podcast, or also as Earth Station One. Also, we have our ESOpodcast.com page, which is going to be going through some major changes in the next couple weeks. So look for that. And hopefully, you know, if anyone wants to get involved with writing for our website, we are always looking for new people to help out and such. You know, if you want to do a blog, if you want to just write a column, or if you just have random thoughts you want to post on ESW or ESO, please write me and let me know. We'd love to have you. The network is growing, and we have some new shows in the works. Thank goodness I'm not going to be hosting them, though. I'm doing too much as it is.
Yes. Stay tuned for Earth Station 3.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And stay tuned for our first Dragon Con special for 2013, which is coming up next week.
Jesus.
Where we start interviewing the directors for 2013.
Start interviewing cosplayers to see how far along they are on their new costume.
We're kidding.
We are so kidding. You know.
Yeah, you say that now, but when we get the email tomorrow from Mike where he's like, I have this great idea.
I'm writing it as we speak, folks.
You know, last year we did a couple of special ESO episodes, and it was our bright idea to expand that this year, and I got to tell you, you guys, it's been so fun to record, even though I've been, you know, prior to the show, I was like, you know, doing two or three podcasts a week, and I was like, this is crazy, what are we doing? But actually sitting down and talking to you guys about Dragon Con, I learned a lot. I think it enhanced this year my experience, and I hope it did that for the listeners as well. It's just been fun. So let's do it again next year.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be great. You know, I can only see, you know, us doing it again next year and expanding it a little bit somehow. Any suggestions, you know, write us at esopodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you liked about our show and what you didn't, you know, or what we can improve on. You know, we're always here and we're not that shallow where we go. If somebody has a suggestion or say something they didn't like about the show, except for the host, of course, but, you know. We write us, let us know. We want to hear all about it. You know, we like hearing from you guys anyway. And, you know, also tell your friends about us, all of us. You know, we don't mind talking to anybody. You know, we showed that at Dragon Con. We did talk to anybody. So that's cool. So thank you guys so much for listening. Let's wrap this up now. Everyone, let's say bye.
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 We'll see you next year at Dragon Con. Peace.
This is Dr. Scott Figuet, Dr. Geek from Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom. And my Dragon Con 2012 memories were filled with all the panels that I was on as well, such as the Stargate Archaeology panel and the How Soon Is It Now panel and a bunch of other British sci-fi panels. But really, my memories are filled with meeting people and talking to them about future technology and seeing how everyone was getting excited for science. That was really fun. Plus, actually getting together with all of the ESO network shows, that was kind of cool, putting faces with voices and just kind of marveling over just what is Dragon Con. I keep joking that it's five separate conventions with an umbrella theme because every hotel is basically its own track. And if you can tolerate that, if you can figure out how to be in five places at once, then you could really enjoy Dragon Con. But it was a lot of fun, and I got to visit with friends, and that was what it's all about.
Perfect. All right.
Hey, Mike, can I add a PS?
No, of course. Oh. Of course you can. Go ahead.
I just want to add a little PS to, you know, one of really the absolute best things about Dragon Con was being able to speak on the panels that I did and to make people laugh. And to have people come up after the panel and say to me that they really enjoyed, you know, me making them laugh and making them think about different things to do with the different shows and the different genres that we talked about.
Hello, this is Keith Lancaster, Brigade Leader of Unit Atlanta. This year for DragonCon 2012, my favorite memory, which I'll never forget, is actually speaking with Mr. John Barrowman, Captain Jack, and having him sign my Captain Jack action figure, which he informed me was not sanctioned by any of the actors when they were developed. So, of course, it was a short run. You know, him actually explaining to me in so many words that Torchwood will be back. They're just waiting for the their contract with Starz to expire.
Really?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know if I'm giving away like information that well, maybe he let slip, but yeah, that is what he told me. That they're waiting for the Starz contract to expire, and Torchwood will be back. Charming guy. And in fact, when he signed my action figure, you know, he signed it, love you.
Aww.
John Barrowman.
That's it. The show's over. It's time to head home. See you next week here at Station 1.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... the tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Setting sail to the place on the map from which no one has ever returned, drawn by the promise of the joker and the fool, by the light of the crosses that burn, drawn by the promise of the women and the lace and the gold and the cotton and pearls. It's the place where they keep all the darkness you need. You sail away.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.